Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from Him who is, and who was, and who is to come, and from the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. I'll repeat just a couple of verses from our sermon text, Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, while being full or hungry, while having plenty or not enough. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is the word of God. Victory tasted bitter this past Sunday. Yes, the Vikings of Minnesota did defeat the division leader, the Packers of Green Bay, in a tense game, closing with a field goal. That's 3 points. That's all there was. But victory was short-lived that evening, when just when you think you can experience some success, just when things were rolling at church that morning, an exciting day of replacing hymnals, just great conversations with great people, beautiful music, Sunday school singing, and even the Vikings win. Then some maniacal motorist takes his vehicle and crashes into a whole crowd of people at a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And that put a somber mood on the day. And heard a few things from people we know up there. Fortunately, no one we know was hurt, but that doesn't make it any less tragic. It's kind of hard to gloat over the people in Wisconsin about a silly football victory at that point, isn't it? But isn't this the way of the world? Just when things feel successful, just when it seems like things are rolling, just when, my goodness, things might actually all go your way and click into all the right places, then in this world of sin, some tragedy comes and makes you feel guilty for feeling happy. You know what I'm talking about? When you feel guilty for having, when you know there's plenty of people in want. You feel foolish for being successful when you know a lot of people who experience failure. And it's almost become a popular solution now. Call it collective sin or systemic guilt, what have you. Some people feel the solution is almost to the point of feeling guilty and doing penance. And then you might possibly be right by those to whom are done wrong. As if that makes any sense. As if guilt could cover over the wrongdoings of this world, as if shame could lift everyone up instead of just making everyone feel foolish and bad and ugly. Fortunately, that's not the secret to Thanksgiving. And fortunately, St. Paul knows the secret to Thanksgiving. He knows the secret to life. And how to feel uplifted, not just to put aside the worries of the world, but to enjoy life carefree. His solution, the real solution to this world, for sinners down here who might possibly cling to some semblance of hope, his solution is be content. Be content. You might say, be happy with what you have. You might say, the opposite of covet. That's usually when this comes up in catechism classes, 9th and 10th commandment, when we're talking about covetousness. Well, we've got another similar word, starts with a C, to match covet. It's content. It's next to godliness, although I don't know if that's really in the Bible, or is that cleanliness? Either way, we've got a better word today. That is contentment, and it's not isolated. It has a secret too. To be content means to do anything and everything in Jesus Christ. So today we kind of go down the rabbit hole of secrets, but once you see what Paul is telling us, man, there is so much more to life. And there's so much more life to look ahead to. Because nothing you need can be taken from you. Truly. Nothing that you need between you and God to have a right status with Him, to look beyond and into the life to come, nothing can really be taken from you. When your sins were forgiven a few minutes ago, can that be taken from you? No. Can salvation be taken from you? No. Can eternal life be ripped from your heart and from your literal future? No. Not since Christ was raised. Spiritually rich is the real contentment. And it's not to have, but rather how to have. And it's not being rich in ourselves, but rather to be rich in Jesus. Now, as he often did in Philippians, as St. Paul sets out in this lesson, Paul commends them and expresses joy for these fellow Christians. Because they heard his situation, it wasn't great. They expressed concern for him. But more than that, they sent along an offering. And it wasn't the first time. These Philippians seemed to understand stewardship better than most of the congregations. This wasn't the Corinthians. This wasn't the Galatians. Paul's words aren't nearly so harsh for these church leaders in Philippi and the people to whom they would read this letter. Just everybody in the church at Philippi. Paul had great words for them because this wasn't the only offering they gave. They'd been giving all along. They'd been seizing every opportunity to do so as abundant and generous givers for the gospel work that God had done among them and abroad. And they saw it. They saw what Paul was doing in reports back and in letters, and they had seen it when he was among them. But as soon as Paul rejoiced over their concern for the gospel and for his well-being, he also was quick to say that he wasn't going without any needs. As if somehow at this point God had forgotten to stop taking care of him. God had moved on to better things, or God had left him to rot in his current state in Rome under house arrest. No. None of that was true. Paul was quick to say, I'm being well taken care for. That's not to say Paul knew where his next meal was coming from, but Paul knew that it was coming. And if nothing else, he had this secret to be content. And what a secret to have. Whether you have a lot or a little, to be content with what you have unlocks your whole personality, your whole understanding, your whole relationship with the world around you. You might almost say it practically gives you a new reality. To be content with what you have, whether it's meager or abundant. Just think about what the world would be like if everyone was content with what they had. And that doesn't deny working hard, being productive, sharing, giving, and using the abilities God's given us to seek our needs, our bodily welfare. But then, to be truly content with all of those basic gifts and more that God showers upon us. Wow. All sorts of people suffer poverty. But to know how to suffer poverty, that's a mark of greatness. All sorts of people have riches, but it will sinfully corrupt them if they do not know how. That's what Paul wanted to share, to know how. Simply put, contentment. So, believers tonight, you thought you'd have to wait until that Thanksgiving meal to be stuffed. But with a faith like St. Paul's, you're stuffed before, during, and after the meal. With a faith like St. Paul's, you're stuffed whether there's a meal or not. Because by faith like St. Paul, you approach every morsel with contentment. St. Paul says that's what it's all about. Just think about it. You don't have to wait to be stuffed on Thanksgiving. You're stuffed full already with all of God's blessings. Can you list them? Can you imagine how many things you have to give thanks to God for tonight? Every breath, every day, every little bit of health, every little bit of food, every new thing that comes your way unexpectedly that serves your needs. And not only that, every luxury, everything, it's like new layers on top of the cake. It's like new legs that suddenly appear on the turkey. What a glorious set of riches God has poured out on you. But it's not about those earthly riches either. The glorious crown of riches God has placed on your head is also from above. It cannot be corrupted. It can't be taken away. It's not an earthly treasure. Don't forget to give thanks to God this evening for your heavenly spiritual treasures as well. Because it's not just about being rich. It goes back to that problem, how can I feel rich and be okay with all this when someone else has so little? The answer is to be rich in Jesus. And that cuts across all kinds of appearances. Not rich on ourselves, but rich on our Savior Jesus Christ. See, Paul was in prison when he wrote this letter, and it wasn't his richest station in life. But you would hardly know it, even as Paul reached into his pockets and found them empty. Even as Paul wondered what was going to happen next when they would finally release him from prison so he could go back to do the Lord's work. Or maybe they would come and behead him. At this stage in Paul's missionary journeys, after his initial stint to Rome, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. He's still got a few more letters to write, the pastoral epistles that we call 1st, 2nd Timothy, and Titus, before he's imprisoned again and taken back to Rome for execution. But he doesn't know that. And still he says in verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You see how, unlike certain false prophets, Paul doesn't promise earthly riches. He doesn't say it's the best get-rich-quick scheme that you've ever thought up, and that is Christianity. No, there's no kind of talk like that. It's not suddenly you get a step up in life, you're in a new caste or a new class. It's not like now everything's going to go to work for you in the way that people often think, as if earthly luxuries now start pouring out like fortune out of a cookie. Now, but Paul was sincere in his words about God's goodness. God would promise a rich supply to anyone and everyone who has this kind of contentment by faith alone, because God produces fruit. Where there's faith, God produces fruit. And some of you are going to share that fruit this weekend somehow. Some of you are going to be giving back to the community because you love God so much and you're so content. Some of you are going to find a way to serve someone, be there for someone, help someone, because that's what faith does. That's what thanksgiving, when you have faith, does. You share that fruit, and it's like a branch bending with so much fruit to give. We see it every time that we put together some kind of giving drive. There's more of those coming too here at Bethlehem. And as our society grows more and more materialistic and dissatisfied with its possessions, finding opportunities to loot, to steal, to rob, to push people around, to stomp up the corporate ladder at whoever's expense, doesn't matter. For certain people, greed, it will have its way, and the ends justify the means. And all that comes from sin. But let Thanksgiving be a day when those of us who have sinned, I'm looking at you, those of us who know what it feels like to be greedy, look to the cross of this one who made us and redeemed us, find that forgiveness, and trust that now is a good time to give thanks. And it's not only for earthly blessings, but all of the spiritual, because we have Jesus Christ above all. We seek first Him and His righteousness, and guess what? All these other things will be given to us as well. Certainly there is a priority shift that we might seize upon in this life. When we see other people who fail, other people who don't have what we have, other people who lack. But alongside our fruits of good works that we give out of faith, let's also remember to share the good shepherd in whom no one lacks, in whom no one shall be in want. Because he knows how to guide us, and he knows how to lead us. He knows not only how to give us so much, but how to forgive us so much. He knows not only how to take from the high and mighty and give to the poor, but take the highest and mightiest sins off of our shoulders and cast them to the depths of the sea and direct them in the opposite direction. As far as the east is from the west, so far away are our sins from us. So this is gospel. This is a good news. This is a bit of spiritual richness. That's what God calls grace in the book of Ephesians. Because it wells up in our hearts. And guess what? It determines our thoughts and our feelings when we approach stuff. Yeah, we've got stuff. We are stuffed. What more can be said? Spiritual richness of God is found in the Bible. The gospel soothes, quiets, and calms. Sin is forgiven. Strength is promised. Every need of the soul is satisfied. All is done in Him, and His voice of grace is found in the Word. Now, yes, feelings of tragedy can be accompanied, but this time with spiritual success. Feelings of lacking, they might tug at us, but we can accompany those with feelings of spiritual richness. And feelings of being in want are accompanied by the facts of our Good Shepherd. That's true, brothers and sisters, as we see tonight from cradle to grave, just as it was true from manger to cross to crown of glory. In Jesus, amen.